Well, praise God. That was a great little program those kids put on. That was excellent. I didn't know how that was going to turn out, but it turned out really good. Amen. I didn't want to share a few thoughts before we left this morning because I didn't want this just to be about a little play. Because Christmas is so much more than just a little play, isn't it? And we think about Christmas time and all we can think about is the gifts that we're going to buy and we're going to give to others that we love and care for. But Christmas is really about the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and that gift comes from God. And God has given us all kinds of different gifts. And I want to focus on three gifts that God has given us just to get our hearts and minds in the right place about what the real meaning of Christmas is. And first of all, I just want to share the fact that God has given us the gift of a Savior. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" If there was ever a gift that everybody needed, if there was ever a gift that no one could do without, if there was ever a gift that fit everyone, surely it is the gift of the Savior. We need to understand that this was a promised gift by God. Isaiah says it like this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So this gift from God was a gift that was promised in the Old Testament. Paul even says that in Romans chapter 1, doesn't he? He says, "Paul, a servant of Christ," or servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So this gift of a Savior was a gift that was promised long before Jesus came into this world. And not only was it a gift that was promised by God, but it was also a gift that was perfectly timed by God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." And so this gift that God gave us, this gift of a Savior, was a promised gift. And it is also a provided gift. At the right time, God sent His Son into this world. And that's why the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." For that, you and I should be truly thankful. Truly thankful that God promised a gift. And not only did He promise a gift, but God delivered that gift into this world at His time, at the right time. And it is the gift of a Savior. The second gift we should rejoice about and be thankful for is not only the gift of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, but it's also the gift of salvation, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We also desperately need that gift of salvation. The Bible teaches us that all men are sinners, that all men have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23 says it like this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all have a past, don't we? We all have a present. We've all broken God's law. We all still continue to break God's law. David says this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Who can deny that truth? Who can deny it? Can you deny that you're not sinful? Can I deny that I'm not sinful? Sin is a fact of experience, is it? I feel it in my heart. I know it's part of my life. Sin is not only a fact of experience, it's also a fact of observation. I see it in you. You see it in me. And we see it all over the place in this world. You see it in your workplace. You see it in your family. You see it in your neighborhood. You see it in your schools. We see it with nation rising against nation. Sin is a fact of experience, and it's also a fact of observation. And sin is a fact of revelation. God tells us in His Word that we have fallen short of His glory. All of us. The Bible not only teaches us that all men are sinners and that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but it also teaches us that our sins are an offense to God. They offend Him.
And that our sins result in His divine eternal judgment against us. We don't like to hear that message, do we? God does love the world, but listen to me, God is angry with us. Our sins have placed us under His divine judgment. Paul says it like this, again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. And John the Revelator says it like this, then I saw a great white throne, and Him who was seated on it, earth and sky, fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Now listen to these words. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That is the day of judgment. That is the day of divine retribution. That is the day of the Lord's wrath. It doesn't get more serious than that. This is eternal punishment. And that's why the New Testament and the Old Testament compels us to flee the wrath that is coming. Our sins are an offense to the holiness and justice of God. And they result in His eternal judgment. And so this gift, first of all, discloses man's desperate need. We are sinners, and we are sinners who are under God's judgment. But the gift of that Savior, the gift of salvation, does not only disclose man's desperate need, but it also describes God's gracious love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This gift of salvation that God has provided to sinners is a free gift. There's nothing that you and I could ever do to earn God's favor. There's nothing that we could ever do to earn a righteous standing before Him. Jesus Christ has made atonement for the sins of His people. He has made atonement for the sins of every single person who would believe in Him. He has paid the price for our sins in full. And all the sinner needs to do now is to acknowledge the fact that, yes, I have offended God, and I need to turn from my sins and put my trust in the Savior that He Himself has provided. And Paul says it like this, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Listen to me, there's not going to be one person who's going to stand before that throne that I just read about on that day and be able to make excuses before God and get a righteous standing to go into heaven apart from Christ. The law itself condemns us. Every mouth is going to be silenced. Every mouth is going to be closed. And that's why Paul says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in His sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But listen to these words. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. There is no other way to be saved except through faith in Jesus Christ. You could search the entire world over and never find a gift as precious as this one. Listen to me. To know that your sins have been forgiven, to know that you've been justified freely by God's grace, to know that you have the gift of eternal life is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. There is no greater gift than that. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to stand before that throne. We stand before that throne without the gift of this Savior. We'll be cast into the lake of fire. Did you know Him this morning? You know, these children presented to you the message of the Bible. The message from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 2 is that God has provided a way out. He's provided the greatest gift that He could ever provide. He has sent His own Son to die in the place of sinners. I know that most of you here this morning know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But there may be some of you here today who don't know Jesus Christ. And like I said, when I prayed this morning, maybe you've come to church your whole life. It's not coming to church that's going to save you. It's repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's what saves. Your life is hanging in the balance. Listen to me. The very fact that you're sitting here this morning is evidence that God's grace is still being extended towards you. That's why the Bible says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't close a deaf ear to God's call on your life. You come to Christ this morning. Don't leave this place if you're not a believer. Don't leave this place if you've not accepted Christ without coming to the foot of the cross, because you have no guarantee, friend, that you're going to be alive at the end of the day. When the owner of the house gets up, the Scripture says, Jesus said, when the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, the day of grace is over. The day of mercy is over. Then all you have to look forward to is divine justice against your sins. That's what these kids were saying. That's the message they were proclaiming to us. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? And if you have, do you love Jesus Christ? Do you want to serve Him? Do you want to be His ambassadors as they shone that light at the end? We are His ambassadors. We've got this message of great joy to proclaim to all the people. You need to share your faith with those who don't know Christ. I pray that if there's anyone here this morning, I want you to close your eyes, please, everyone. Anyone here this morning who's never trusted in Christ, please, just listen to my words. You've never come to that place where you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, but God has been speaking to you in your life. The Spirit of God has been drawing you. Is there someone like that here today? Someone that God has been speaking to? Someone that God has been moving in their hearts? Just lift up your hand. You know, I'm not going to get you to come up here and stand in the front. Just lift up your hand and show me, yeah, you know, God has been speaking to me. I need to make sure that I'm saved. Anyone like that here today? I can pray for you. Anyone at all? Father, thank you and praise you so, so much for the great message of salvation. Lord, we rejoice that that day in the town of David, a Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And Father, we thank you that salvation is a free gift to us. Lord, I rejoice before you this morning that you saved a wretch like me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're my Savior forever. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. I thank you, Lord, you're never going to leave anyone of us in this place today who knows you as Lord and King and Savior of our lives. We rejoice, dear Lord God, that we have your grace in our lives right now, eternal life, even now. And Father, I just pray for anyone here today who doesn't know the Lord, that you'd bring them to the foot of the cross. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for that. We trust in you. In Jesus' precious name,